Hello and welcome. This is Punch Panorama. I'm Omotayo Oladuni. Yeah, so ladies and gentlemen. So what are we discussing? Relationships. So, a young man went on socials and he wrote about the fact how his fiancé appears unresourceful. He has a good job, he has a vision for his life, and he has this girl whom he has to push all the time. Yeah, she's a virgin. She's from a local government that he loves. You know, she just seems to tick the boxes culturally, but he feels that she's not driven enough, and that's a matter for concern. So we titled our conversation today, Being Resourceful in Marriage and of course Dating. So being resourceful in marriage / dating. Ladies and gentlemen, before we delve into this matter, I'd like to say that in our world, it seems many people think for women a lot, especially when it comes to dating and marriage. And almost by default, even the psyche of a woman looks like she wants to like fit her dreams and ideas into the vision of the guy she's dating. Almost by default. And when she marries, she eventually gets married to that person. It's either she cowers or she just changes all her plans or just tries to fit it into what the guy wants. But the question is that really how it should be? And this is what I sense here. Now, here's a man who seems to have ticked all the boxes culturally. So she's from the local government that he wants. She's a virgin. He's happy about that. He could be shocked though. He could be surprised when eventually. But so, generally, she looks good based on what he wants. But the only other thing left is he wants her. He's pushed her to get a job in teaching and she's not forthcoming. Ladies and gentlemen, many people tend to want to push a girl child or the woman or the female gender into a life that they want them to be. No doubt our parents all, you know, painted to us what an ideal mom should be, what an ideal wife should be. So we saw moms and dads live together for so long. Many people are married right now, they're asking their mom, so mom, is this what you went through? And mom is looking at you like, yeah, I did that for you. And the story continues. Now, if you also did a quick Google or AI search on what resourcefulness is in marriage, now the first thing you hear is even the definition points at the woman. So resourcefulness was defined by a first Google search that I saw to mean another important quality of a good wife. You wonder whether resourcefulness is not needed for a husband. Maybe there's a whole lot a woman has to do in marriage, huh? You know. Anyway, a resourceful woman knows how to spend the money, that's what the site said, how to get creative when there are limited resources, and how to find solutions to problems. She's not afraid of hard work and is always willing to lend a hand. Now, another synonym for resourcefulness, if you checked another dictionary meaning, said that resourcefulness means the ability to find quick and clever ways to overcome difficulties. It could also mean being talented, being able, being imaginative and adroit. Ladies and gentlemen, my question. You'd agree that there are so many moms, so many wives and so many women out there who are heavily talented, very clever, who are very smart. But sometimes it looks as though marriage sometimes either reduces that talent, or in marriage you just don't see how fantastically gifted that woman is. Now the question you want to ask is it because of the man they are married to that reduced their resourcefulness in terms of exhibiting their talent? Or is it that they are not married to the people they really want to be with, so the ones they are with just seem to calm down their talent? Or is it the concept of marriage itself, where by default you just have to focus on parenting or motherhood? Or some would say maybe the culture of the region of the country where the person is married from. Two examples come to mind. Okay, so years ago, if you're in broadcast journalism or journalism generally, there were certain women whom we knew were in journalism and they were doing very well before they got married. After marriage, we almost didn't hear anything about their work or whatever it is they did. Maybe years down the line, we'll probably just see them resurface. They'd become moms, and it looks as though journalism was like the least on their priority. Now, you want to ask yourself, is it maybe it's marriage that did that, or maybe who they married, or maybe love made them just abandon their talent, but you're not sure about that. I mean, I'm not sure about that part. Whilst, you know, researching this topic, a book came to mind written by a woman, Mrs. Ezeigbo. She's a professor of English, which retired now, at the University of Lagos. I think she's from a boy in state, and she lectured at NAU at some time. She wrote a book, The Last of the Strong Ones, and if you had done English 103, one of the literary English courses at the University of Lagos at the time, you'd have read the book. Now, in that book, the woman gave different, it was a setting, a southeastern setting, but she was talking about women. And she gave a perspective that still resonates with me today about, it looks as though, I mean, she wrote about different women and how they had to deal with marriage, motherhood, parenting. And there was a certain woman who gave birth to 5 boys, and she had married this man whom, you know, because of the setting she used and because she had sons, everyone would have expected her to be celebrated much more than any other person. But surprisingly, you know, this woman was so thin, she was so sad in marriage because the guy was just so stingy. Lo and behold, when that man died, that woman looked better, she looked happier. One would say she was more resourceful. Now, she gave another example of another woman who, I think she didn't have a child, and because she was looking for a child, her best wasn't really seen up until she left her marriage, and then they found out that she was a poet, and she was such a good poet, such that she had become so good in that community that when the mother-in-law of the husband she married at the time before she left that marriage because she didn't have a child died, she didn't go, and people felt, oh, you should have gone because she had the best. They had to get someone else, and the person was nothing close to who she was, but she just felt that was her own way of getting back. And she gave, I mean, stories of other women, basically, I think other women who were loved and did well in their lives. What I took away from that story is love has a function. When you love a woman genuinely, she blossoms into a resourcefulness. When you love her genuinely, I'm not sure you'll be policing her to do absolutely anything. And one is tempted to say that even guys as well. When you find a guy who probably just maybe married a girl because the girl said, I got pregnant for you, you are the father of the baby, you probably slept with her. And they don't share anything. You see him pushing her so much into resourcefulness that the baby just saying, well, what are you saying? I'm not interested. And you're probably not seeing the best of that guy himself because there's no woman to push him to be the best. So one is tempted to say that people are most resourceful in a dating relationship or marriage when they're in tandem, when both just seem to be in sync in terms of their likes, their dislikes, and in terms of what resourcefulness means to them. So meaning, if you would like to be a filmmaker, and she doesn't necessarily need to be a filmmaker too, but she probably should like movies, or probably should be able to write stories if she's not a movie person. And then you must have a connection. One is also tempted to say that many people have this idea because, you see, if you leave your parents who've been married 50-60 years, you know, they've gotten A1 staying together, you begin to want to box yourself into the type of marriage your parents had. All right, but a lot of people also downplay the place of love, affection. There must be a spark. What she finds is many people just say, oh, I like this person, she fits into this, that, she's from my village, she's from that, you know, she's Christian, she's that, she's this, and you really don't like her. So she's going to be the mother of my kids. There's a vision of what you want your kids to look like. Oh, she's fair, or she's, you know, you have to like her. Now, if you remember some of the movies we watched as kids, some of those high school movies, there was a particular one I remember about a princess. She didn't know she was a princess. Eventually, when she found out, they had to matchmake her with some prince. And I remember in that movie, she kissed the guy and she had to go like, Mr. Prince, there's just no spark. They just didn't like each other, even though they were from the same social class. I think they should have been. And that's what you find. There must be a spark. Otherwise, you're just going to waste your time. And if you, for those who read Bible stories, if you remember this lady, Leah and Jacob, those guys had nothing in common. They just got married. The only thing we read about Leah was about that she had kids. Trust me, some people, those who read Bible stories will tell us that, oh, Leah came across as slow and all of those. But I'm sure if that lady found somebody who really liked that genuinely, we probably have read a better version of who she was. And that's what you probably find. One is tempted to say that, and this is what I'll say to a young man like this posting about resourcefulness. What if that lady doesn't want to be a teacher? What if she wants to be a potter? She wants to make pots. If she eventually arrived at that school and the principal probably encouraged her towards what she wants to be or who she wanted to be, she's going to be endeared towards her principal. And they may start dating, then she'll start cutting shows. You say, this girl that I brought back from the village, see what she has done. It's important that people share some level of compatibility. Okay, a lot of people abandon the place of, yeah, as much as we want you to be resourceful, what do you want to do? What do you want to sell? There has to be physical compatibility, emotional compatibility, and of course, intellectual compatibility. And I think we said that in one of the podcasts that we had, defining who we want to marry, who you want to be with. If you're marrying a lady who is a super academic babe,
And then you want her to be a tailor, you just killed her. I mean, if you're not careful, that lady is just going to be dead alive. You know, and I remember, last doing a study on this story, I found a story on Coral Digest. And it was about an Indian lady. She was talking about how she used to be a very happy-go-lucky girl. And how, you know, because in India, to marry from your ethnic and your ethnic group and your tribe also mattered. You know, despite the fact that they do call the Indians to us, they also have their own tribes and beliefs that are different. And so your parents oftentimes want you to marry from your own social class and your own ethnic group. And she and this guy were paired together and they eventually got married. And she described how they had nothing in common. The guy would just push her to do this, push her to do that. That's my addition. And she said she grew from being a happy-go-lucky, resourceful lady to just waking up every day cautiously grateful. I felt it was the most emotionally disheartening story I've ever heard from any woman. And that's what you find with many women. Lady went on to say that she just wakes up every day, takes care of the son, tries to be a wife, they fight after time, they argue and everything, they just sleep together like strangers, and they're on the bed like just roommates, and life goes on. And it looks as though if you're not careful, that cycle just continues. And when you marry, everybody just says, oh, that's the life of a woman, no? Eh? And then she can't even get a divorce. She gets a divorce and go like, oh, why are there so many single women in the country? And then we do another report. You know, I think the woman, the female gender, God, in the course of this research, one guy said to me, female gender, she's an endangered species, you know. May God be with her. I dare say that women are not endangered species. One should just encourage them to be resourceful in who exactly they want to be, you really want to be. And also define exactly who you want to be with. What if you're a poet and the guy that has seemingly ticked all the boxes, you're tall, you're this, you're that, and that, and he doesn't like the fact that the sound of your voice, I mean, poetry as a career for you is just ended. You know, what if she wants to be on the runway? What if she wants to contest, you know, to be Miss World or something, or Face of Africa, and she's posting, and you stop her from posting her pictures on Facebook? You just killed her. If you're not careful, you have a woman dead alive beside you. Because one of the things I found out is that our dreams, aspiration, and love in itself gives you a reason to wake up. It gives you energy. Love hormones are powerful. I don't ever stop saying that when I talk about relationships on podcasts. Love hormones are powerful. They spur you to action. You won't even know when you start getting ready for work. And when people love each other, no career really needs to go down for the other. Maybe one could calm down, you know, maybe for family's sakes, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it goes off. Right, people should really, I was saying that talents and gifts and aspirations give us reason to wake up to see a new day. You know, without that, life throws to us many opportunities, many challenges. But when you have a dream or you have an aspiration, when you have a career, something that excites you, for example, if you like to act and you get an audition all the time, you're excited to wake up to a new day. You're excited to dress up for the day. But if everything you want to do, hey, don't post your picture. Go and be a teacher. Go and be a nurse. Hey. That's probably not what she wants to. Ladies and gentlemen, as we draw this conversation to a close, I'd say that a movie came to mind right now that it was about a lady who loved to ice skate, and she had this guy who was working for the bank. It was an American movie, and the guy would always come to check her. But you see, every time he came, it's either she's rehearsing or she's on ice skating or something. And eventually, the guy whom she always ice skated with was whom she eventually started going out with, and she had to shank this bad guy, you know, and they eventually got married. You see, that was a good example of an individual who was resourceful in ice skating, and she found somebody who shared the same thing with her. In that kind of marriage, if she eventually stops ice skating, it will be choice. It will be the fact that, oh yeah, I don't feel like I'm trapped or imprisoned in my dreams or imprisoned in marriage, you know, or imprisoned in a relationship. It was just choice. And then maybe another side of her will show. Ladies and gentlemen, share your thoughts with us on being resourceful in marriage and dating, and how you think people can be most resourceful, you know, and how you think love plays out in all of this. All right. Even if both of you sing together, don't forget, there must be a place of spark and compatibility. It won't always be about defining, hey, you must do this, you must do that. A woman is not a student. She also has a mind, and that's why she got an education, whether vocational or whatever. Enlightenment gives us an opportunity to choose what we want and who we want to be with. You know, many people would say this is who I want to be with. They forget to ask the lady, do you want to be? Does it look like who you want to be with? I think we should give women that opportunity. Thank you very much for listening. I'm going to tell you a lot when you enjoy.